Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. Actually, I'm going to take you to chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 17 and read through 3:13. So that's either page 877 or 878. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 17. I'd like to read this to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 17, and I'll read through 13 of chapter 3. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned or torn away from you by being separated from you for a short time in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come back to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? I'm going to read that one more time. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we are praying with Paul during our Lenten series, and today we're focusing on praying for each other. Now, over the last several years, I make no apology that when we've talked about prayer, I've been focusing more on God. You've heard me say several times, we have to seek the face of God before we seek the hand of God. We want to seek the face of God before we seek the hand of God. And so we're constantly trying to emphasize that we need to be in praise and in thanksgiving and expressing gratitude to God before we roll out our laundry list of requests. But today we're going to maybe bring it back to center because we're going to be focusing on how to pray for each other. How do we pray? What's the content of our prayer and who are the objects that we're praying for? Who are the people that we're praying for? Well, I love Peanuts, and I know it seems like that's from another generation, but Lucy and Linus were having this conversation in this one particular four-panel piece, and Lucy saying to Linus, you want to be a doctor? You can't be a doctor, no way. Do you want to know why you can't be a doctor? Because you don't love mankind. And she rides off on her bike, and I love Linus. I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. Well, I think the same thing can be said about the people of God. I love the church. Yeah, you can have that embarrassed smile. Say it with me. I love the church. It's people or the people I can't stand. Okay, now if you've ever thought that, you're not alone. You're not alone. Someone gave me a comic when I entered seminary, and it said, ministry would be fantastic if it wasn't for the people. Someone else gave me another one. And I don't know if it's just me that they know to give it to, but it's like, Greg, we think you'd love the ministry if it wasn't for people. So I don't know. I'm trying to still get a hold of that. But see, the challenge is the church is the people. This is the sanctuary. This is the building. But the church is the people. So we're in trouble, aren't we? We're in trouble because the church is us. The church is us. See, and people matter. People matter. And people affect our feelings. People influence our thoughts. And they impact everything. And that's why it's so good. And would you read that little line? I don't know if you can read it above the churches for the people. Prayer is a gift for vulnerable human beings who love others. Let's say that one more time. Prayer is a gift for vulnerable human beings who love others. Did you see or hear or feel the Apostle Paul's heart in what I just read? I mean, it's amazing how this apostle, this man of God, makes himself so vulnerable. See, prayer is a gift for vulnerable human beings who love others. Now, you may say, why are you emphasizing that thing? Because I'm convinced that many of us don't enjoy prayer. We don't experience prayer because we think we're invincible, but we're not. We're not invincible. We don't let our guard down before God or before others. And so why do we need to pray? Why do we need to pray? See, we pretend and we act as if we're impenetrable, we're unflappable. It's all good. When's the last time you said that? Maybe there's a new way of saying that now. It's all good, I'm fine. But we're not all good. In fact, none of us is good. And I'm not talking about our morality, but we don't have it together. I don't know, some of you are getting a little mad at me, your backs are stiffening up a little bit, and you're saying, who are you talking to, man? I'm fine. Uh-huh. Right, I'll follow you for a little while. And again, sometimes I can give this same image. It's all good. I mean, again, someone asks you, how can I pray for you? And I know that's a loaded question. How can I pray for you? What can I pray for you about? And what do we say at least 60% of the time? Nothing. Nothing. You don't need to pray for me. Now, you can really pray for them. See, it's not, oh, it wasn't all good for Paul. Did you catch his heart? He uses words like being orphaned, torn away from people he loved. He's saying that I was afraid. He talks about Satan. He talks about the tempter. He talks about his labors being in vain. See, we are not invincible, and that's why prayer is a gift for vulnerable human beings who love others. If you are not vulnerable, if you're pretending like you're not a human being, that you've got it all together, that you've got it over the Apostle Paul, you will never enjoy prayer. And if you won't allow yourself to love others, to let the guard down long enough to allow someone else's pain, someone else's needs come into your life, you won't pray. Some of you right now, the penny is dry. It's like, oh, no wonder I don't pray. I don't love people. No wonder I don't pray. I don't let it in. No wonder I'm so good at judging rather than praying. It's way easier to judge because you can look out, but see, we let the guard down and then it comes in and your judgmental attitude stops. In fact, it stops you in your tracks because you realize, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my, they're going through that. And I can't help them. I don't have what it takes to fix that in their lives. See, prayer is a gift for vulnerable human beings. Real people with flesh and blood who bleed, who cry, who get worried, who stay up at night, who get sick. If it's all good for you, you'll never be praying with Paul. You'll never be praying with any of us, and you'll never be praying for us. And you'll miss out on this gift. See, we are vulnerable. Why? Because people affect our feelings, and people influence our thoughts, and people impact. People are a mess. We are a mess. In our family, sometimes it gets a little messy. And the kids, probably weekly or every couple of weeks, it's like, is Daddy okay? And in our family, it happens like frequently, it's Mom. Is Mommy okay? And we're not. Because what's happening in your lives impacts us. See, when I came to Boston, I was visiting a friend at his office, and I saw this little nautilus shell. I said, well, wow, that's really cool. I don't think I've ever seen a nautilus shell. He said, oh, you need to have this. I'm giving it to you. And don't you hate that when you see something in someone's house, you compliment them, oh, you should have it. It's like, I didn't want it. I just wanted to compliment you. But he gave it to me, and this is what he said. He said, you need to have this because you've got a problem. I'm thinking, okay, great. Which one's he going to highlight right now? He said, you have a problem. See, here in New England, we say what we're thinking. And we say it loudly. And I've noticed you're always getting hurt. And we're just telling you we didn't like your sermon. We told you to preach too long. We didn't mean for you to be hurt by it. We're just letting you know. This is what we think. Thanks. And New Englanders are a little bit more gruff, and I had a little bit thin skin when we got here. And you know what? So I took the shell, and I actually made a vow in my heart that I would stop being hurt by people. I wish I had heard this sermon. Because I thought this shell would make me invincible. I thought it would make me invulnerable. Can you imagine having a pastor who didn't want to feel your suffering? Okay, true confessions. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I told someone who prays with me, I'm getting rid of the shell. I'm getting rid of the shell because it's compromising my ability to love people. But I want to be honest with you. You know, you look at Badvili, Mogo, and I, and you may say, you know, what do? Why do they sometimes look uptight? Why is Badvili Greg doesn't smile as much as he used to? What's wrong with him? And I'll tell you something. When I was the youth pastor here, we had anywhere from 20 to 50 youth. And I didn't have a shell then. And I would go home and I would just be a wreck. And any of you who are parents of teenagers, you know what it's like, right? Well, I'm going to just tell you, being a pastor is like having 200 junior higher and high schoolers in your family. And I've got like two of my own and one up on the way. And I've got me, and it's a mess. You're a mess. See, because we affect each other, and this is why prayer is so crucial. See, prayer is a gift for vulnerable human beings. Pray for us. Pray for us. When you suffer, we suffer. We may not be the best at communicating it, but you matter to us. And when we drop our guards, when we put the shells away, we carry your loads. And I want to be candid. This morning when we were praying, it became clear that maybe we're doing it too much. That we're acting like we can carry the loads. That instead of praying and giving your loads to the Lord, and I'm gonna turn this on you too, that sometimes you come to us expecting us to carry the load, expecting us to be the ones who solve the problems, to be your Savior. I love Bodville's sermon. Again, I told you, God, I woke up, oh, God's doing something here. God is our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. We are the bride of Christ. You are not my bride. I've got a great one. You are not Bodvili Mugo's bride. He's got a great one. We need to carry our burdens together to whom? To the Lord, because prayer is a gift for vulnerable human beings who love others. See, and it's bad enough that we have our weaknesses and our foibles, but, you know, thanks, Paul. Yeah. But Satan blocked our way. I was afraid in some way the tempter had tempted you. Satan is real and he is active. Did you notice that even the Apostle Paul, what he wanted didn't happen? Did you see that? We wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. How can that be? How can Satan get in the way of the Apostle Paul? Isn't God sovereign? Absolutely, God is sovereign. God's plans will never be thwarted. But I want to lay this out to you, because some of us stop trusting God because we equate our plan with God's plan and say, well, if our plan isn't intact, then something's wrong with God. Sometimes what I want, even my ministry plans, are not what God has in mind. Sometimes I miss it, and sometimes you miss it. This is not just preschool, okay? This is not a playground. I've heard people say, oh, you know, planet Earth, our life here on Earth is just like kindergarten, getting us ready for eternity. No, it's not. There's going to be so much more coming, but this is not kindergarten. Real people, real live, vulnerable human beings get hurt, and some people lose their way. Because there is an evil one who wants to destroy us. He will never know the love and kindness and mercy of God. None of the demons who allied themselves with him in his rebellion will ever know the mercy of God, and so their targets are on us. And because of that, our service for Christ, our love for others, it could be in vain. Did you hear that Paul said this? I sent Timothy to find out about your faith because I was afraid in some way the tempter had tempted you and our labors might have been in vain. Really? Really? All the effort that you put into reading the Bible to your children, all your praying for them, that could be in vain? Empty? Another way of translating that is useless? Is that possible? Yes, it is possible. The Apostle Paul was afraid of it. Don't have a human confidence in yourself, or don't attribute your human confidence, well, if you've done something, of course God is going to come through. Do you know that my three children, just like all the youth that I invested in while I was here as a youth pastor, just like anybody in any of the other ministries that I've been a part of, every one of them, every one of you, has the option of saying no. Has the option of not trusting God. Has the option of saying, no, I know that's the truth of God, but I'm not going to do it. And all the work that so many people, all the prayers of your grandmother, I said it. Could your grandmother's prayers be in vain? Some of you want to yell at me right now and say, no way, Bodvilli, no way. Really? You want to explain to me why 40% of the youth that were in the youth program in the 90s don't walk with Christ anymore? You want to explain to me why the grandchildren of the founders of this church don't walk with Christ anymore? Do you have an explanation? There is an evil one, and you and I have choices to make, whether we will trust God or not. Boy, that sounds heavy. Lucky we have a gift for vulnerable human beings who are willing to love others. But see, I love the verse, how verse 6 starts. You know what word that is? How does verse 6 start? Does anybody have their Bible open? But it's an adversative. This is what I was afraid of, but Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. Again, he had said, who is going to be his joy? Who's going to be his crown? What's his hope when he stands before Christ? Is the people he served will actually be walking with the Lord. You, your faith, and your faithfulness can bring more joy, more hope than you can imagine. Your life, just like the lives of the Thessalonians believers, that's what kept Paul going. For now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. Tell me that this man didn't have a shell. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you? Wow. There are some of you who need to erase what you have written in your Bibles, which is, how can we criticize you enough? How can we criticize you enough for all the frustration that we have before God because of you? Is that in your Bible? I need to tell you something. And I'm not kidding when I say this. And I'm not trying to be overly dramatic when I say this. But our church is cursed with the sin of criticism. We can say, oh, that's just what it means to be Armenian. Armenians have the gift of criticism. Armenians have the gift of discernment. We can see everything wrong in somebody. Do you know that it's killing us? I can have conversations with you, and if I'm not careful, I can just, by asking questions, I can lead you right into being critical of somebody else. Sometimes I do it on purpose, and I'm wrong to do that, and I'm sorry for that. I'll fish to see how you're doing, and it won't be seconds before you'll take somebody out. Kids, the not just the kids, the men last week had rifles and we were shooting. And gosh, we have metaphorical guns all over. We're packing. And we're taking people out left and right. You know, we've got to stop. I'm just going to tell you how different our church would be if instead of criticizing each other, instead of just saying, you know, do they know what they're doing? Or, they did that. Instead of that, we said, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you? I want to challenge you that instead of being critical of somebody, thank God for them. And you say, well, there's nothing to thank God for. Oh, really? Really? I remember someone told me part of their premarital counseling, they said, Greg, you should be using this in your premarital counseling. They said, they told them as they were getting ready to get married, if you focus on the 75% that you love about your fiancé, the 25% that bothers you is going to shrink. But if you'll focus on the 25%, it won't be long till you've got nothing that pleases you. You've got nothing to give thanks for. Can we apply that to us as a church? That to look for what it is about each other that we can thank God for? I promise you, life will change. Your life will change. And you know what? Paul says in the prayer that's coming up, he wants their love to overflow for each other, but also to everybody else. How about people outside the church? Can we thank God for them too? If you, like me, are inclined to be more critical than thankful, before you take communion today, or maybe you don't take it because you're unwilling to stop the criticism, but before you take the bread and the cup, say, Lord, change this in my life. Change this in my life. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. And then he gives three specific prayers. So let's just go through these. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. Who's in the way? Who's blocked their way? Satan. Isn't it fantastic that we have a gift for vulnerable human beings who love others? Satan is in no way comparable to God in power. You've heard me say this before. Jesus said it, that it's the finger of God flicks Satan, any demonic authority. He can flick it. Satan is not competition for God. But we need to go to him. See, when you pray for someone, this is a warning, when you pray for someone, it won't be long until God's going to put a burden on your heart to actually go spend time with them. See, I could be really sneaky and say, here, why don't you pray for someone, knowing all the while, the moment you start praying, you're actually going to end up developing a relationship with them. Full disclosure here. Pick someone to pray for and get ready for God to bring you together and to start asking him for that. We're seated here, and church is strange because we all sit there and you listen to somebody. And thankfully, we get to hang out a little bit afterwards for our coffee fellowship, but church is the people, and it's people connected with each other. Pick someone to pray for. In fact, uh-oh, get ready. The person that you're judging so successfully now, how about you start thanking God for them and praying for them about what you've been gossiping about them? Paul prays that he could be with them. He also prayed that their love would increase. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow to each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. We have a lot of Bible studies. We have sermons. We have long sermons. But if we don't love each other, it's in vain. It's empty. But I can quote the Bible. Barabe. I'm talking to me. I know a lot of this book. But if I don't love you, zero. 1 Corinthians 13, we hear it at every wedding. What is it? If I have the tongue of men and angels and I can do that, but if I have not love, I am nothing, zero. It's not for weddings. It's for us. It's for the church. We're nothing if we don't love each other. What was Jesus' line? A new commandment I give you. We know it. Love each other. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. The implication is if I don't love you, I surely better not take his name. And his last prayer is, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy ones. Again, he knows where to go. He knows our frailty. It's from the inside out that strength comes to be able to trust God, to be able to obey God, to be able to stop judging, to stop criticizing, to start being thankful, to love each other. It's got to start from the inside out. And again, this isn't kindergarten. This is all going on before the Lord. He is watching. He is here. He is present. And he offers us prayer as a gift. And one final thing. That little last expression, who love others. Jesus said in a very disturbing way that he won't forgive us if we don't forgive. I don't know any of us who smile when we see that. Every one of us, at some point, whether now or a time in the past or a time in the future, are going to run head on into resentment and unforgiveness. See, this is what prompts our criticism. Because people hurt us. They do. And we hurt them. We're going to come to the table now. Would you allow yourself to be vulnerable? Would you allow yourself to be vulnerable to God for him to point out a sin that needs to be confessed? Would you allow someone else to influence you, to frustrate you, to hurt you? Would you let down the wall so that we can actually live as the body of Christ? Would you ask God, who should I pray for? Who should I pray for? I love how Paul says it. Because this is what he asks of us. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not feel their temptation? Would you let down your wall so you can pray for us, all of us, to pray for the person? Prayer is a gift. But the only ones who will enjoy it are those who will be vulnerable, those who will be real human beings, flawed, needy human beings who are willing to love others. Amen. Those who will be dispensing the elements, if you could please come forward.